Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help adult group leaders prepare to lead a Bible study group using Explore the Bible. Today, we'll answer three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And finally, what's one thing leaders should not miss this week in the Leader Resources? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Mike Livingston. He's no stranger to the podcast, so he is likely a familiar voice. Mike serves on our team as a content editor for both the Personal Study Guide and the Daily Discipleship Guide. He also creates the prayer guide each quarter. So if that's something you use, he is the one behind all that, and he adds just a ton to our resources. Mike leads a Bible study group at his church, and he brings just experience and knowledge to our discussion. So it's always nice to have you with us, Mike. Thank you for being here.
Well, yeah, I'm very grateful to be here on the podcast.
We're discussing session 5 today. In this session, we will examine Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. But before we get to all that, let's take a broader view of this chapter so that we have an idea of the context. In the first 9 verses, Jesus's disciples ask him who is greatest in the kingdom. So that happens in this chapter. In verses 10 through 14, we read the parable of the lost sheep, and that illustrates God's personal care for each individual. And then in verses 15 through 20, we learn how to handle conflict among believers. So it's an important chapter. There's a lot in it. And that brings us to our focus passage, which is verses 21 through 35, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Well, let's jump into this passage. In verses 21 and 22, Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive someone who has sinned against him. As many as 7 times, he asks. Jesus told him to forgive 70 times 7. Mike, what can you tell us about these verses?
You touched on the context. You mentioned verses 15 to 20, which where Jesus talked about restoring a brother who has sinned. He says, "If a brother sins against you, go. You take the initiative." Talking to his disciples, you take the initiative to restore a brother who sins against you. So Peter obviously wanted some clarification on that. And so he asked, "Well, okay, how many times? How many times do I do that? How many times should I forgive my brother or sister?" Jewish rabbis required a person to forgive a brother of the same offense only 3 times. So Peter, likely thinking he was being generous, said, "Should I forgive as many as 7 times?" And the number 7, I don't think he just chose the number 7 randomly. 7 represents completeness. And so Jesus replied by saying, "No, not 7, but 70 times 7." And the point Jesus is making here is it's not about multiplying numbers, but it's about multiplying completeness. Forgiveness shouldn't have limits. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. So the point is, if you're counting, you're not forgiving. And the reason Jesus focused on this and insisted on this is because forgiveness is an essential part of God's character. Let me take you back to Exodus, the 33rd chapter of Exodus, where Moses says to God, "Please let me see your glory. Let me see your glory." And God responded and answered the next day, on Mount Sinai. It says the Lord came down in a cloud, passed in front of Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin." So in that encounter with Moses, God could have revealed himself in a number of different ways. He could have focused on his role as creator or anything else, but the one aspect of his character that God revealed to Moses was his compassion, his grace, and his forgiveness. And so, this is why Jesus is saying always be willing to forgive, because when we do, we reflect the very nature of God.
Okay, I'm just going to say it because it was such a good quote. I wrote it down. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. I think that could be a good reminder to everyone. We're going to get into the parable next, and it might feel like such a unusual situation we wouldn't find ourselves in. But forgiveness is, I mean, we're going to need it every single day. So if you're counting, you're not forgiving. I love that. Well, let's take a look at what comes next, verses 23 through 27. Jesus told a parable about a servant who owed a very large debt to the king, but was unable to pay. So in humility and desperation, he asked for mercy. The king had compassion and forgave him the debt. So this parable gives us a wonderful visual of grace and forgiveness. A man owes the king 10,000 talents. So the ETB commentary, or the Explore the Bible commentary, describes the debt like this. A single talent represented a large sum of money, roughly equal to what a low-level laborer could make in 20 years. So one talent, 20 years worth of work. And the Greek term translated 10,000 also has the meaning of innumerable and was often used as a figure of speech for a number an individual could earn in 4,000 lifetimes. So assuming that the entirety of his wages went exclusively to repaying his debt, this man owed exponentially more than he could ever hope to pay. It's just an amount so large that there's really no way that he could certainly not pay the entirety of it. He might be able to repay some of it. So just reading that, my thought went to the weight that this debt must have borne on this man, the burden of it, just knowing that he has this debt to owe, and it's such a large debt that there's really no realistic way that he could pay it off. So I can only imagine how he felt when the king had compassion on him and forgave him the loan, and we see that in verse 27. It's just a picture of unearned kindness and an unmerited gift. It is hard to even fully grasp the amount that he is being forgiven. And so in this, the king acted in the best interest of the servant, not in his own best interest, because he's not going to get that debt repaid to him. But looking at what was best for the servant, he graciously canceled the debt. So not his own best interest, but that of the man. It's an incredible point of the story. And it is maybe one for people in your group that they've heard before. This might be a very common parable that they've heard, but I don't want that to deter us, because the teaching of what it means to be forgiving and to recognize the amount of forgiveness God has given us, that's for everyone. And we could read about that every single week and get a benefit from it. So, okay, let's move on to the next set of verses, Matthew 18, verses 28 through 35. The servant whose large debt was forgiven went out and found a fellow servant who owed him a small debt, but he was unable to pay it back. Unwilling to extend compassion, this man threw his fellow servant into prison. And hearing what happened, the king threw that unforgiving servant into prison until he could repay his debt. So it's an interesting story. Jesus warned that those who are unwilling to forgive will face judgment. Mike, talk to us about these verses. What do you see here that we want to really bring out in our discussion?
Yeah, well, let's focus on verse 35, referring to the king throwing the unforgiving servant in prison. Jesus says, so also my heavenly Father will do to you, unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. So this is the conclusion of the parable. And so the reference to brother or sister ties the conclusion back to, all the way back to verse 15, where Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, and it ties it back to Peter's question, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister? And so Jesus says, well, forgive your brother or sister, tying it back to the beginning. Forgive, you must forgive from the heart. Okay, so focus on those three words, from the heart. So forgiveness is a matter of the heart. Mm-hmm. An unwillingness to forgive exposes the true condition of the heart. Certainly, we don't earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others. Salvation is through God's grace by faith alone. It has nothing to do with our works, but refusing to forgive reveals a heart problem. Mm-hmm. There's a problem there. There's the parallel passage in the Gospel of Luke raises a question that someone might ask, or it might come, it might be brought up during the session here. So in Luke, it says, Jesus says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and he comes back to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So what if the offender doesn't repent? What if they're not repentant? What if they're not apologetic? Then are we released from this obligation to forgive? Or are we given a pass in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say no, we're not. That because a believer is never justified holding a spirit of unforgiveness just because no apology has been offered. We're never justified refusing mm-hmm. to forgive. And it's because the point Jesus is making here is there are no limits on forgiveness. There are no limits and there are no excuses. Mm-hmm. No limits, no excuses. So if we refuse to offer forgiveness to someone who offends us, then we become the offender.
Mm-hmm.
And to withhold forgiveness, according to Matthew 18 here, to withhold forgiveness raises the question whether we have even understood grace ourselves. And it, at the least, it indicates that our lives are not being shaped by the gospel of grace.
I'm glad you spent some time on that, unpacking that verse, because I think this is a part of our study this week that could lead to a lot of discussion and questions from our group members. And so just being prepared, helping our group leaders be prepared to know how to handle that discussion is really helpful. Yeah. So thank you. Each week, we highlight something that we think group leaders should not miss in the leader resources. It's something that we consider to be a valuable tool and one that will boost your discussion and just overall be a helpful aid for this specific session. This week, I want to highlight the praying scripture feature. It's found on page 58 of the leader guide. So for the past 2 years now, we have added this feature to several sessions in the leader guide each quarter. There might be three or four. I think that's how many we usually have. And these are brief exercises that leaders can bring out in their group discussion that teach group members how to pray scripture. So we think it's an important personal discipline, so much so that we've added it. It's even in the teaching plan, so you know where to kind of fit that in. This week, the prayer prompt focuses on Matthew 18:22, and it leads adults to respond to this verse in prayer. So if you don't have time in your gathering, which I totally get that, I would just encourage you to mention it, bring attention to it, and encourage your group members to do it at home. For some of them, praying scripture might be a new thing that might be something they've never tried before, but it's just a great way to spend a little extra time on a verse or a set of verses and to pray that back to the Lord. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, next week, we will take a look at session 6. It's a study of Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10 and 16 through 20. Bob Bunn will be joining us for that discussion, and we hope you'll join us.